Worldwide Resources, EWTN presents a truly global perspective of our Catholic faith. Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. I'm Brian Patrick. This week, we celebrate Our Lady of Fatima and the Ascension of our Lord. Let's meet our contributors. Father Francis Lucas is with us for the first time from the Philippines. He's president and CEO of Catholic Media Network Corp. Robert Rauhut back with us from EWTN in Germany. He's joining us from Cologne. And we are blessed to have Monsignor Philip Moja, rector of the Shrine of Our Lady of Walsingham, England, back with us again. So, Monsignor Moja, your shrine had the honor of leading a global rosary initiative launched by Pope Francis for the month of May. Each day during the month of May, a different shrine will lead the rosary. I understand that being the first shrine turned out to be quite an adventure, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Firstly, we didn't get a great deal of notice. And of course, being the first shrine, you can't copy anybody else. You can't see what their mistakes were or their good things and decide that you would either avoid that or do what they did. So we had to start with a blank page, along with the instructions that we got from the Holy See, and we tried to adapt what we got to our own circumstances, but I think in the end it seemed to go well, and people were able to join in the praying of the rosary through what we were able to do.
Well, you can hardly go wrong with a rosary. I mean, it's a beautiful prayer, and we're really going to focus on that during the show this week. Robert, what Marian shrine there in Germany was part of this marathon?
The German peak is Altötting in Bavaria. It's the Marian shrine in southern Germany. It's a little village situated about 19 kilometers to the east of Munich. And it's the so-called Black Madonna with Child. It's black because it's quite darkened by the many candles lit up with prayer intentions by many people coming there. And it's also well known for miracles and prayers which have been heard and fulfilled. And it attracts most people, especially during the months of May and October, the Marian month. And in the past, it has three popes who have visited that place, Pius VI, John Paul II, and the latest one to visit that place was Pope Benedict XVI.
Of course, our dear Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI is from Bavaria, so he's got quite a special connection with that shrine, doesn't he?
Indeed. Pope Benedict XVI was born quite close to Altötting, and he has visited that place many times, beginning with his siblings, which were his brother and his sister, and his parents. And he has recalled that his first really nice recollections of visiting a shrine have been to Altötting. And this special connection, he has sort of nourished it throughout his whole life, even then as Archbishop of Munich, as Cardinal Prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, and latest as Pope Benedict XVI. He visited that place in the year 2006. He became an honorary citizen of Altötting, and he also awarded this well-known golden rose, which is attributed by the popes to special Marian sanctuaries, also to Our Lady of Altötting.
I can just picture him at this beautiful shrine right in the area where he was born. So in the Philippines, Father Francis, the National Shrine of Our Lady of Peace and Good Voyage led the rosary. What can you tell us about that shrine?
Well, that shrine is a huge shrine, and I used to travel when I was still a seminarian, even in high school, and do pilgrimages in May. And it's about 21 kilometers from the seminary that is in Makati, the business center. At the time, there was no business center yet, you know. And we walked 21 kilometers. It's uphill climb. And in the area itself, you will see a huge church with a big dome. And then as you enter, it's not rectangular. It's like semicircle type. And then you see Virgin Mary on top of the big altar. It's quite small. And the story was, this was brought here by the Governor General from Mexico in the year 1626. Tabora is the family name. And then this statue, this image, they cannot find it often, and they often find it on top of a tree of Tipolo. And the place now is called Antipolo. So what they did, they cut the tree and put the image on top of it. But then, during the Chinese insurrection at the time, during the Spanish time, it was destroyed, and they tried to destroy it, and they hit it with weapons and all that. And you see a scratch in the face of the Virgin itself. But then it became the capital of Marian pilgrimages in the Philippines. And the big church was built, was finished, completed in 1954. So every year you get so much traffic because it's outside the Metro Manila, and people going to the provinces passing by Antipolo get a lot of huge traffic, and many people go there, especially blessing of cars.
Well, we really appreciate you taking us there for this little mini pilgrimage. We celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima May 13th, the day of the first of six apparitions 104 years ago. EWTN Rome Bureau Chief Alan Holdren sets the stage for this miraculous series of events.
On May 13th, 1917, in the fields of Cova de Iria, near the small village of Fatima, Portugal, three children tending to their flock of sheep witnessed the supernatural apparition of a beautiful young lady. She would later introduce herself as Our Lady of the Rosary. The three children described her as brighter than the sun, dressed in a white mantle edged with gold and holding a rosary in her hand. Her request was to devote themselves to the Holy Trinity and to pray the rosary every day in order to bring peace to the world.
And Our Lady asked the children at Fatima to come to the Cova on the 13th of each month until the final apparition, October 13th. That's when tens of thousands witnessed the miracle of the sun. The sun danced in the sky. That day, it inspired millions around the world to pray the rosary, even to this day. So, Father Francis, tell us briefly about the deep devotion to Mary in the Philippines.
We have at least 30 shrines in the Philippines where the Blessed Virgin did miracles. And our devotion to Mary is so extensive that everybody prays the rosary. I often say that in any tribulation or problems, and also in joy, we remember talking about Mary and venerating her. And there are so many processions happening all over the Philippines about Mary. I cannot forget my grandmother telling my sisters, if you devote yourself to Mary, nothing bad will happen to you. But you know, at the time I was telling myself, huh? Is that really true? Why only for the women? Why not also for the men? You know, so we, at a very young age, the foundation is so strong about Mary, our mother. And especially when we talk about mothers.
That is a wonderful memory of your grandmother, and we appreciate how she has guided you to this place in your vocation. Next on the Catholic Sphere, are COVID regulations on religious services finally easing across the world? Then later, we'll learn where the Ascension Thursday is still considered a true holy day, even a holiday. Stay with us on EWTN, the Global Catholic Network. Thanks for joining us on the Catholic Sphere here on EWTN, our weekly global perspective of our Catholic faith. I'm Brian Patrick. Our contributors this week, Robert Rauhut in Germany, Monsignor Philip Mosier in England, Father Francis Lucas in the Philippines. And Robert, let's go back 40 years to the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. What historic event happened on that date?
It was on the 13th of May 1981 when there was this famous assassination attempt carried out on Pope John Paul II by Ali Akcha. That's on St. Peter's Square, and there is still a plaque, a little stone remembering that famous date. And still today, the mystery, who was really the person, the persons behind this assassination attempt, are not unknown. But what we know is that St. John Paul II survived that attempt, and he traveled to Fatima to thank Our Lady of Fatima rescuing him. And the famous bullet, one of the two bullets shot at him, was placed in the crown of Our Lady of Fatima. And we have also a connection to Krakow, where you can see the cassock which he was wearing on that day on St. Peter's Square. And the belt he was wearing that day is situated at the shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa. So Pope John Paul II dedicated his life to Our Lady, his famous leitmotif, Totus Tuus, and it was her who carried away the victory, and he survived.
Yeah, he gave her credit for guiding that bullet away from his vital organs. And of course, Our Lady appeared to the children at Fatima in 1917. So it was during the Great War, which we call the First World War because there was a second. And not long before the Spanish influenza swept across the world, much like we've experienced recently with COVID-19. Father Francis, I want to ask you, Catholics in the Philippines are so committed to practicing their faith. In this pandemic year, coupled with destructive typhoons on parts of the islands, how are they able to participate in Mass and the sacraments?
What we did as a Catholic Church was to use social media, the internet. But, you know, especially in the rural areas, also in Manila, but, you know, in Manila, there are so many discipline that has to be imposed by the government. But in the rural areas, people, you cannot refrain them from going to church. So we had to double up by opening up the outside the church, putting chairs and tents, because they really want to go to Mass. They say, you know, virtuality is not the real thing. And we really have to, especially during the times of crisis, we want to hold on to God. If possible, we want to stick to touch them. We want to be receive the Holy Communion to strengthen us in our faith and so for our future also. So that is the situation here in the Philippines.
Yeah, and certainly this has been going on for 500 years. This year marks 500 years since Catholicism came to the Philippines. We'll talk about that with you a little later, Father. Monsignor, how is COVID affecting pilgrimages to the shrine there at Walsingham in England?
Well, Walsingham has operated under the same restrictions as anywhere else in the country. Fortunately, this time round, rather than in 2020, our churches have been allowed to open for Mass and for private prayer. So we have continued with daily Mass with people coming. There has been a restriction on how far they're allowed to travel, but some people have been able to come even some distance. We are restricted as to the numbers we are allowed to have in a building at any one time. But it's been a great blessing this year that we have been allowed to be open, as well as live streaming liturgies and devotions too.
And the vaccination's now taking hold. And I know that in Wales and in Ireland, there's been some controversy about churches not being able to open. Yeah. How do you think European bishops are responding to these ongoing restrictions?
Well, I think with some difficulty. In England, we've been able to remain open and have public masses. As you pointed out, in other parts of the United Kingdom, because of devolved government, the rules have been different. I know in Ireland that the bishops have been in touch with the government frequently to try to loosen up things. I can't speak for the rest of Europe, but I think probably we have been in a good place in England compared to elsewhere.
And here in the United States, some of the bishops are actually saying that, we can return to fairly normal situations in our churches with obvious restrictions and obvious, you know, measures to make sure that everybody's safe. Robert, what is the COVID situation there in Germany this week?
Restrictions are lifted up and you can attend church service. You were allowed to attend church services in the past weeks and months. We don't know which consequences this will have on the general attendance by faithful people. So that's still an open question, but we certainly join the papal pledge for this prayer marathon to end the COVID pandemic.
You mentioned that prayer marathon. I want to mention that the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. is hosting the Rosary Marathon on the 17th of this month. So people in that area, or if you can make a small pilgrimage or participate, EWTN, of course, covers all the events from the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. So ascending into heaven, Jesus instructed his followers, go and make disciples of all nations. We'll talk about discipleship next on the Catholic Sphere here on EWTN. Thanks for joining us for the Catholic Sphere, EWTN's weekly global perspective on our faith. Monsignor Philip Moja is with us from England, Father Francis Lucas from the Philippines, Robert Rauhut from Germany. And this year, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, which we've been discussing, falls on Ascension Thursday. That's right. Ascension was traditionally celebrated on Thursday, 40 days after Easter Sunday. In the U.S. and other parts of the world, the observance has been moved to the following Sunday. That is not the case, however, in Germany, isn't it, Robert?
No, in Germany, it's a bank holiday, so we don't have to go to work. We have the chance to attend church services. And it's quite remarkable because, as you know, Germany is not a purely Catholic country. It's about one-third Catholics, one-third Protestants, and one-third atheistic or agnostic people. So it's quite remarkable that we have this bank holiday, because even in countries like Poland or France, which are traditionally much more Catholic, this day is not off.
Well, that's very interesting. Robert Rauhut in Cologne, Germany. And Monsignor Moja there in Walsingham, how do you see your work at the shrine there as answering that call of Jesus to his apostles, go and make disciples of all nations?
Well, I think we see ourselves as a kind of a wellspring where the thirsty can come to drink. And our hope would be that pilgrims who visit the shrine to pray, and also others who come just as visitors, would find something here of the living tradition of the church, of the faith, so that they could themselves be evangelized or at least energized into being evangelists when they return home. Because I think a place of pilgrimage has to have an influence not only on those who visit, but on those who meet those who have visited.
Well, I would love to make a pilgrimage of Europe's shrines, and I certainly hope to visit Our Lady of Walsingham in the not-too-distant future. Father Francis, Catholic in the Philippines are really a robust example of a committed response to this call for discipleship. Do you think that in this increasingly secular society, they can hang on to that fervor for their faith?
I have often been asked that question. Anywhere I go around the world, also in the Philippines, but I always say this: what the Filipinos will never lose is their faith. And for what reason? The devotion. I believe deep in my heart that any person with a clear devotion to anything, to the family, especially to God, will never lose their faith. Because especially in the secular world today, commitment, what is that? Nobody wants to commit anymore to anything. Everything is passing, everything is instant, everything is short-lived. But if you have a devotion like what we have with the Mother Mary, it's very deep, this kind of devotion. And a devotion is you commit your whole life and you promise to go on procession every year and you have to pray to the Mother. And, you know, so it's so deep. It's so huge also. It's so extensive. It's all over the Philippines. As I said, we have 30 shrines just of Mother Mary. So you will never lose that.
Yeah, that's a lovely statue of Mary that you have right there behind you. It resembles Our Lady of Fatima, but it's just slightly different, isn't it?
Yes, because, you know, I always joke about this. Any image of Mary, that's the same Mother Mary. And when she's holding the rosary, and then it gives us a message that we have to pray the rosary. And somebody just told me this, a certain Monsignore, when I was still young. He said, Francis, pray the rosary every day because Catholics in the Philippines are born with already a rosary in their hands.
I want to talk a little bit more about the Ascension with you, Father, and it ties in this year with World Communications Day. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it started in 1967 after the Vatican II, because the second document of Vatican II was Inter Mirifica, and that was very controversial, I tell you. I got stories from experts who were there telling us that there were even some lobbying to not to finish Inter Mirifica and to put them down. But I don't know what happened. God wanted that the media document, it was just shortened into 24 points. And after that, Inter Mirifica even said, and Pope Paul VI pushed for the World Communication Sunday, where we have to fix the challenges of media. And not only media, but social communications, all types of communication, that we have to look at that, especially on the challenges of the modern technology, how we can get into it and preach the Word of God, bring hope and inspiration to everyone.
We have so many tools at our disposal now. Think about it. When Mother Angelica launched EWTN 40 years ago, there was just cable television. And Mother took advantage of that. Now we have social media. We have instant communication constantly. And this is a great opportunity for this to be used for evangelization. Certainly, the enemy uses it in so many ways. So we really need to be making sure that the media that we have available to us today is used for good. Let's talk a little bit about this period between the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord and Pentecost Sunday. So this was a very uncertain, maybe even frightening time for the early followers of Jesus. We know they were locked in the upper room with the descent of the Holy Spirit, and that changed everything. I'd like each of you maybe to find a comparison with this time in Scripture as this time in our lives. We're coming out of a pandemic. We really want to resume a full active participation in our faith, but these are uncertain times. Robert, could we start with you? What do you think about that?
I think what we in Germany are called as Christians and Catholics these days is really to be witnesses to the faith by an authentic life of prayer, mercy, and love to the other. And I think that's the best thing we can do these days coming out of the pandemic, that people get attracted by the way we live, we act.
I agree. Monsignor Mosier, what's your thought on that?
Yes, I agree with that too. One of the ideas that our bishops have had in a statement they issued is it's looking at how people feel after, how Catholics feel after COVID, and those who are a bit weary still and concerned. But they talk also about the COVID curious, people who through the media may have latched on to some of our live stream masses, not just at the shrine here, but around the world actually, and have become curious about the faith, so that we may have been evangelizing or preparing for evangelization without realizing it. So we may find that there are people who are metaphorically at least coming up to us and saying, I want what you have.
Yeah, that's great. And EWTN's audience has expanded during COVID because for a while it was the only way to connect, or one of the few ways. Some quick thoughts on this from you, Father Francis in the Philippines.
In my experience, the similarity and the solution to that is this. Insecurity is the midwife of certainty when it comes to our faith. Because when you're so insecure, you're so helpless. And there's no other way to do it but to embrace again God, your faith. And with a lot of inspiration and hope, you will recover everything and you will forget all this confusion and turmoil. And you go back to your God and telling God, yeah, you are the power. You own me. I came from you. I have to go back to you. And you, your spirituality even heightens in its depths.
Insecurity is the midwife of your faith. That's a beautiful thought. Father Francis Lucas in the Philippines, we hope you'll be back with us. Robert Rauhut in Germany, Monsignor Philip Mosier in Walsingham, thanks for joining us again on the Catholic Sphere. We look forward to seeing you again very soon.
Welcome.
I'm Brian Patrick, and next week we are going to discuss the Holy Spirit, the descent of the Holy Spirit in a very personal way. We're preparing to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. We hope you will join us then for the Catholic Sphere on EWTN. EWTN, live truth, live Catholic. We thank Mother Angelica and the entire team here at EWTN behind the scenes. Thank you for joining us for the Catholic Sphere on the Global Catholic Network, EWTN.